Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad to be with you today, and I'm so glad that you had an opportunity in your schedule to spend these few minutes together. Before we go into the Word of the Lord that God has placed on my heart to share with you this week, let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fellowship in the Spirit, for the bond in the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ, which you are raising up throughout the earth. Father, the times are growing darker and darker. There are perilous times upon the earth, even as your word declared would be in the last days. But we thank you, Lord, that you are raising up a glorious church, Lord, without spot, stain, or wrinkle. And Father, we can arise and shine, for our light has come, and the glory of the Lord has arisen upon your people. Thank you, Lord, for a courageous, bold spirit in these end times. Father, that we will have an understanding of the times, even as the sons of Issachar, and we shall know what it is that the Spirit of the Lord is doing, and Lord, how He is moving across this earth and in our own individual lives to perfect all that which concerns us. Lord, I pray for every need. Lord, for those who are listening that are going through battles, whether they're physical affliction, sickness, whether it's financial difficulties, whether it's problems in the home or in the job situation, Lord, I thank you've given us power and authority over all works of the enemy, and you've placed that authority in our hands. And so, Father, with the keys of the kingdom that you gave to Peter and your first disciples, Lord, we wield that authority. We take authority over the works of darkness. We bind them and, Lord, cast them into outer darkness, and we release the blessings and the power and the presence of Almighty God in our lives. And Holy Spirit, that you will take these words, your word, and you will make it significant and applicable and meaningful to our own personal lives, and that you would receive all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I'd like to begin this time that we have together by reading perhaps about 13 verses of Scripture, and I will explain as I complete or conclude those passages. I'm reading from the book of Ezekiel, a prophetic book, one of the major prophets, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw the visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzel, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, this is now Ezekiel speaking, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. they went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Well, I could continue on. It goes further on in the description, but this is an amazing and very extraordinary vision that this prophet had, the priest Ezekiel. And as we read that, we might say, well, what is going on? What does this represent? Is it symbolic? Is it literal? And that's what we want to take some time looking at and sharing about the four living creatures of Ezekiel. Are they just sort of an interesting and fascinating portion of Scripture, or do they have so many significance or application to us? Well, what do we see? As this chapter opens, we see the prophet Ezekiel was among the captives. Those were the Jewish captives who, as they were in Babylon. And he says that the heavens were open and he saw visions of God. And we know that throughout the Word of God, God gave his ministers, his servants, visions that in many cases related to the times in which we are now living. For example, John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos when the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to him. That final and last book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ, it describes not only Jesus, it describes not only what's going on in the heavens and in the end times in the earth, the judgments and wrath of God, but it describes the future on into eternity, what the ages of eternity will be like. But our focus for the purpose of our time together is going to be on the living creatures. Now, as I prepared for this and referenced some commentaries, most of them agree that the prophet is making plain that this was a vision, that these were symbolic, not actually existing creatures. However, my response is, I believe, as we look at other portions of scriptures, these are literal creatures as well as their symbolic significance. For example, when we talk about the life of David, we say there's a parallel, or he's a symbol, or he's a type, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, David was a man. He had a heart after God, but he certainly had sin and failings, which the scriptures reveal, unlike Jesus, who was spotless and without sin. Nonetheless, David was a type of Christ. And so I believe that we would be accurate in saying that these living creatures are not only literal, but angelic beings, but they also are symbolic. They contain a message for us. And in that first chapter, Ezekiel doesn't say what those living creatures were, but it's interesting to note in a subsequent vision, when he saw them again in connection with the temple, he recognized them as cherubim, a class of angels. Let me read that passage, Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, verses 15 and 20. And the cherubim, well, actually, maybe I should read a little bit before that. Verse 11 says, when they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it, and they turned not as they went. And in verse 14, it says, and everyone had four faces. The face, first face, was the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man, and the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up, And he goes on specifically to say, this is the living creature that I saw by the river Kebar. And then down in verse 20, it talks about the cherubim lifting up their wings and mounting up from the earth, talks about the wheels. And he says, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river Kebar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. They were angelic creatures that minister close to the very throne of God. So it's definitely affirmed, and he identifies them as cherubim. Now, in the scripture, cherubim are always indicative of the immediate presence of the Holy One of Israel. These four living creatures, in spite of the strange, unusual, or even grotesque imagery, yet they had a general human form and are understood to be like man in whatever is not specified. There's much emphatic repetition as you read through these verses of their description. And commentaries agree that cherubim and seraphim are symbolic figures represented in various ways through Scripture. For example, as we saw in Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, and let me now also go to Ezekiel, the 41st chapter, verse 18, and here it talks about the decorations, artwork that was done on the temple or the tabernacle, and it says in verse 18, and was made with cherubims and palm trees, so the palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub, and every cherub had two faces, so that the face of the man, of a man, was toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. It was made through all the house round about. So we see that it was used in a decorative purpose for Solomon's temple. Well, I see my time has just flown, and we're going to pick up tomorrow at the same point, and I trust you'll be able to be with me. Thank you so much for joining me today. The announcer will give you our contact information, and I invite you to write whatever those prayer needs are. I'll stand with you in prayer. God bless you. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.